Hearing and doing the word. James chapter 1, 19 through 27. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed for his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. All right, so this morning we continue with our series through the book of James. As we've been talking about Under Pressure being the series, and we've been processing through the first chapter, talking about trials and temptations, and all of a sudden it's James kind of does one of those shifts again. I think I mentioned it last week that the book of James is considered a wisdom book, very much in line with Proverbs, and how when you read Proverbs, the writers in Proverbs, like, they jump from different subjects from time to time, and sometimes you can't see how they're all connected. And this, again, it can be one of those moments where all of a sudden it seems like James is shifting gears. But this morning, I hope that we all can see how he's keeping in the same train of thought. Last week, we concluded the previous passage with verses 17 and 18, and I want us to remind us of those passages because it helps us understand where James is going today. As he starts talking about hearing the word of God and doing the word of God. So in verse 17, James made these amazing proclamations, these truth claims. He elevates what he's talking about, and he says, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So James is reminding us as we read this that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from our good and perfect Father. James kind of takes the eyes off of us, and he's putting our eyes back on God. And he's saying, remember that everything in this life, whether it's a trial or it's a temptation or whether it's an actual blessing, a good thing or something maybe we see as negative, in the hands of a good and perfect God, God uses everything for our good. And he's reminding of this as he's putting the focus back on God. And then he makes this amazing statement based on that in verse 18 where he reminds us, he says, of his own will, he, being God, brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should become a kind of first fruits of his creation. So what James is doing is he's exalting, he's giving us a moment of this massively exalted truth. This is an amazing truth that James is presenting to us about the goodness of God and then how God has played out that goodness. Because the greatest gift that God has ever given to us, the greatest gift that God has ever gave his creation is salvation. This is the greatest gift that God could give to us. And that's what he's reminding of us in verse 18, because he's saying, remember, your God is so good. God is so perfect. Every gift that comes down to us from heaven is from a good and perfect God who doesn't shift, who doesn't change. His purpose is still the same. And that purpose was, by his own will, God chose to bring you forth by his word of truth. He's talking about salvation here. He's talking about him redeeming us. He's talking about us, him bringing us from a life of sin into a life of righteousness, a life of separation, into a life of being part of the family. God chose to bring us forth He gives us the good gift of salvation by his own will. And you have to remind the things we've been talking about the last couple weeks. The purpose of that is God didn't save you just to save you. That wasn't God's intention, was just to save you. God did not die. Jesus did not die on the cross just so that we could go to heaven. But God, he did this. He saves us because his purpose is to form Christ in us. That's the message of the cross. It's not just to forgive you, it's to transform you. And that's the exalted truth that James is saying here, because he's saying God brought you forth. You and I could be a first fruits of his creatures, meaning God wants to use our lives as the example to the rest of creation of the power of the gospel. God wants the rest of creation to see in us the power of the gospel, the power of Jesus Christ. He wants to form Jesus in us in such a way that the rest of the creation looks and says, man, that's a powerful God. Because look what he's doing in their lives. So this is the exalted truth that James has just in these two verses. And then the passage today is James then brings it back down into the practical. I said the first week that if we were to call James anything, the book of James, it's definitely a book of the Bible where it's where the rubber meets the road. Right? James isn't just talking in these big lofty theological ideas, these exalted truths. You know, he actually takes this exalted truth and then he says, now let's bring it back down to reality. Let's bring it down to practicality. Let's start talking about what this means. And that's what he does in verse 19. He takes this exalted truth and then he brings it back down for us. And that's why in verse 19 he says, know this, my beloved brothers. Before we jump into the rest of this, I just want to, we have to pay attention to what language is happening here, because it, don't just jump over it. It's very intentional. Notice how the first thing James says is, know this. So we just got done proclaiming this massive truth about the goodness of God and the purposes of God and the salvation of God and the gifts of God. He just declared God, the glory of God in many ways. And then the next thing he says is, know this. He's basically saying, pay attention. That's what he's saying. Pay attention. We were just up here. Now we're going to come back down here and we're going to apply it. So pay attention. But then he says, my beloved brothers. This is important. Because I think what James is saying, notice, it basically means highly esteemed. It means someone that is loved, deeply loved, right? I think the reason James says this is because he's challenging the reader, he's challenging us, pay attention, and then he has to remind us, hey, remember when you read what you're about to read, God loves you, because I'm about to challenge you, right? Because he's going to say some things in this passage that should challenge us today. Like every single one of us should pause and really hear what James is saying to us today. And he's going to say some hard things that we have to face. And he actually says some hard things throughout the rest of the book because he's challenging us. But before he challenges us, he reminds us, you are loved by God. Remember, you are highly esteemed. Remember, you're the ones that God, by his own will, brought you forth. He saved you. Don't lose sight of that. So as we go through this morning, don't lose sight of you are highly esteemed by God. You are loved by God. Because James is about to enter into some very difficult things that are going to challenge us. But he goes on and he says, my beloved brothers, or my beloved family, brothers and sisters in Christ, he says, be quick to listen. Every person, be quick to listen. Before we go on into the depth of all of this, when James says be quick to listen, we have to ask the question, what is he calling us to listen to? You ever notice there's tons of things we can listen to in this life? There's tons of things we can listen to. It's interesting to me that we live in a world where if you want to know anything, you just go to YouTube. And you can find any opinion you want. You can find any information you want. Can I give you an example of how great YouTube is? those of you that have been coming here long enough, you know this, and it's just the way it is. I don't wear suit and ties. When I do wear suit and ties, it's so far and in between, I'm not even joking, I have to go to YouTube to get a reminder on how to tie a tie. I'm not too proud to say it. I love YouTube, because every time it's like, how do I do this again? But we live in a world where there's always stuff to listen to. You can find opinions on anything. We can watch a multitude of stuff. We can talk to a multitude of people. So when James says, be quick to listen, we have to ask the question, what is he telling us to listen to? And it goes back to verse 18. Remember, train of thought. Where is James going? Remember in verse 18, he says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. So when James says, be quick to listen, he's linking this. We have to see it all in the train of thought. What are we to be quick to listen to? It is the word of truth. This lines up to all of Scripture. Jesus said many times during his ministry, Jesus would get up and he would declare a message. He would speak truth. And at the end of his teaching, Jesus would say these words, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So even in Jesus' ministry, we see this in all throughout Scripture, is the call to hear. In Proverbs, it actually says, let the wise hear and increase their learning. Remember, this is all in train of thought. Remember back at the beginning of chapter 1, if you heard the first sermon, that was one of the things that James talked about. If you lack wisdom, ask for it, and God will give it. Now in Scripture, we also see that part of that wisdom is the ability to hear and increase our learning. Now, what does James mean by hearing? Well, in our language, it gets interesting because if we don't speak Greek or we can't read Greek, sometimes we can not understand what he's saying because we don't know the origins of the word he's using. The origin of the word that James is using here means to hear in such a way that you actually consider what is being said. What he's saying is, hear the word of truth in such a way that you actually take the time to try to understand it, that you learn from it. It's not just about hearing it, like, oh, I hear the word, or I hear the noise, you hear me speaking. That's not the word he's using. He's using a word that means hear, be quick to hear in a way that you actually seek to understand. You actually dig into it. You actually put some effort into it. It's not just about hearing. And we can all relate to this because we use the same language. Anybody has, that, you know, if you have kids, you might have dealt with this. Those of you that are married, you might have dealt with this, but let's just put it in the scenario where, you know, you say something, you know, I say something to my kids, and, you know, you might say, hey, did you hear me? And what do kids normally say? Yeah, I heard you. What are they basically saying? I heard the words that are coming out of your mouth. That's what they mean, right? Husbands and wives, we do the same things. Same thing at times, right? Did you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. Are you going to get up off the couch anytime soon? Right? That's not what you asked. You asked if I heard you. Yes, I heard you. Right? But then we change the language, right? This is how we do it in English, right? Then all of a sudden we catch on to it. It's like, yes, are you listening to me? We use the word listen more often. Listen for us is, are you paying attention? Are you comprehending what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I am asking? Right? I do this with my kids all the time. The only reason I'm going to do this is because Piper gave me a hard time yesterday about using her, and I'm going to use her. Piper, clean up your room. 3 hours later, Piper, did you hear me? She's still on her bed playing on her phone. Right? Yes, I heard you. Piper, listen to me. Get your butt up. Pick up the trash and clean your room, right? We understand. That's what James is saying here. This is not about just hearing the information. This is actually considering it, taking it in, and responding to it. He's saying, be quick to hear. Hear the word of truth. Now, this is why I want us to understand how important this is, because when we think about the word of truth, when we think about the word of God, when you think about Scripture, when you think about the revelations that God gives to us, this word of truth is important to us, that we need to be hearing the word of God constantly through our lives, because the word of truth does three very important things for us. Right? Three very important things for us. So if you go back again to verse 18 where it talks about being brought forth, I want us to understand why we have to be quick to listen to the word of God. This is why James is hitting on this. It's because first, the word of truth is what God uses to justify us. Right? It's within the word of truth. It's within Jesus, who is the word, that we are justified. That's that God brought us forth, meaning he took us from a life of sin into a life of righteousness. We have been justified through the word of truth. That's what James is declaring. But the word does, the Bible, the scripture, God, he doesn't stop with just justifying us. This is why we always need to be people that are quick to hear the word of God, because the word of God doesn't just justify us, it sanctifies us. And when we become people who put our faith in Jesus, but then we stop being quick to listen to the word of God, when we stop being people that are quick to hear the word of God, then we actually are stunting our own sanctification. Sanctification meaning it's becoming more like Christ. It's that constant life of being transformed into the image of Jesus. Remember, the purpose of the gospel is not just to save us, but it's to conform us to the image of Christ. And God does that through the word of truth. He does that through Scripture. He does that through the word of God. And then also, the third thing that the word of truth does for us is eventually the word of truth is actually going to glorify us. It's by the promises of God that not only are we saved and not only are we sanctified, but someday we're going to be glorified. He brought us forth to be new creations in Christ, to grow in our relationship and in the image of Christ, and someday by the word of truth, he's going to bring us into the presence of Christ. This is why we need to be quick to hear the word of God, because the word of God is primary in all of these things, in our justification, in our sanctification, and in our glorification. Be quick to hear, be quick to understand, be quick to learn. So, what hinders our listening to God? What hinders us hearing the word of God? I think this is what James processes through in this first couple of verses. Because he says, know this, every person should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So let's process through real quick what he's presenting here. What hinders our ability to hear the word of God? To allow the word of God to do in our lives what God wants it to do. First is, many times we just don't listen. That's the first thing he says, be quick to listen. Quick to hear. The reason he's saying that is because he says, don't fall into the trap of not listening in the first place. Let me give you some of the ways that we can fall into the trap of not listening to the word of God. One is, we can just make excuses. What's one of the easiest excuses that we can make about not being in the word of truth? Not learning from the word of truth. I don't understand it. I don't get it. So what ends up happening is if I don't get it, I just avoid it. I'm gonna challenge us with something. We live in a day where you have so many resources available to you to be able to understand the word of God that none of us have the ability to say, I don't get it, so I'm just not going to read it and study it and learn it. There are so many resources available to us to understand the word of God. But we can't listen to something that we're not actually actively trying to get into, but unfortunately too many people are avoiding it. You know, there's a lot of people also in the world today, and even in the church, that claim faith in Jesus, but another way that we just don't listen is they avoid any involvement where the word of truth is actually being proclaimed. So what I mean by that is it's really easy to fall into the temptation and be deceived with, I can claim faith in Jesus, but I never have anything to do with his church. Because it's avoiding, I'm not going to put myself in a position to have to listen to the word. What's nice about this is I can choose not to listen because I can just keep in my own ignorance about things and I don't have to actually hear the truth of what God's word is. So many times you might see people not listening by avoiding church or avoiding involvement in God's church or anything that has to do with where the word of God is. So remember, I told you, James is going to say hard things, and I'm going to say hard things. One of the ways that we don't listen, and I'm just going to challenge us here, sit here for a moment and ask yourself, when's the last time you even picked up your Bible? And I know some of us be like, you know, I try to do it on a regular basis, but I guarantee you there's probably somebody in this room that's like, I haven't picked up my Bible for... Somebody might actually be sitting here going like, I'm not sure where it is. That's not listening. And that's why James says, be quick to hear. Don't avoid it. Don't be a person. What hinders your ability to hear from God? You're avoiding the very word of God that will speak to you. So that's the first thing, is what hinders us? We just don't listen in the first place. The second thing he says is be slow to speak. This is the second thing, or another way that we can hinder actually hearing from God or hearing from his word, is we talk too much. Now here's what I mean by talking too much. I don't want you to think about it necessarily in just talking all the time, but have you ever been around a person that does talk too much? I laugh at that even myself, because there has been moments I've walked away from conversations. I was like, man, I talk too much. Then there's other times where my wife looks at me and is like, you never talk at all. But you ever been around a person that talks too much? Here, I want us to understand something about individuals that dominate conversation. I truly believe one of the reasons people dominate conversation, or people that talk too much, is because they're a person that wants to control what's actually being communicated. Right? What it is it's a person that's so preoccupied with their own point of view, they don't want to take the time to listen to anybody else. That's a person that talks too much, honestly. Some people just like to talk a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting this on everybody. But a lot of times when you have people that dominate conversations, the reason they're dominating conversations is because they want to control what's being communicated. They don't want to actually give space for somebody else to communicate something that might disagree with them or might be different than what's important to them. They don't want to take the time because they're preoccupied with their own point of view. So how does this work with us getting close or hearing the word of God? How does this work with us not hearing or hindering us from hearing from God, especially from his word? Because we can't hear or understand what God is trying to say to us if we're preoccupied with ourselves. And that's ultimately what a person is that's not slow to speak, because we're preoccupied with ourselves. I want to challenge us for a moment, because I think we all fall into this trap. Let's take communication with one another. Any of you ever been in a conversation where you're talking to somebody and they're telling you their point of view, but all you're waiting for is the opening so you can say what you want to say? Yeah, you know what that is? You're a person that's not slow to speak. Because you're preoccupied with you and you're not taking the time to try to understand what they're saying. Does that make sense? Like, you're trying to tell me your point of view, but I am not wanting to understand it. All I'm waiting for is the opportunity to tell you what I think. To tell you why I think you're wrong. To tell you what I think you need to hear. And we can do the same thing with God. We can be so preoccupied with our own conclusions, our own assumptions, and our own beliefs, that when God attempts to speak to us, we are so preoccupied with what we think we already know, we're not even willing to listen to what God's trying to tell us. And this is what James is saying will hinder our ability to hear the word of truth. Because we're not approaching God's word in a way that we want him to teach us. We're just wanting to use the word of God to validate what we already think and what we already believe and what we already assume. So it's not just about speaking too much, it's just being preoccupied with ourselves so much that we're not able to hear what God is saying to us. So this will hinder our ability to hear the word of truth. James goes on and he says, then be slow to anger. So another way that our ability to listen to God can be hindered is ultimately just having a bad attitude. All of you that have children can understand this again. Children, but sometimes this happens even amongst adults. Do you ever notice that when you get mad, you stop listening? When you get a bad attitude, do you realize you don't pay attention to what anything's being communicated? This is one of the biggest frustrations that I've had in being a parent. Because my children, when they get mad at me and they stop listening, and then it makes me get mad at them, and I just want to choke them. And you think I'm kidding. But I have a very quick frustration level. But do you ever notice how that works? When we fall into a bad attitude, we stop listening. We stop trying to understand. And this is another way that we stop listening to God, is when we fall into bad attitudes. When we fall into negativity, bad attitudes shut us down. Bad attitudes and anger make us not want to listen to anything God is saying. Now remember, this is in the context of trials and temptations. And James is reminding us, like, don't let your bad attitude about your circumstances make you stop listening to God. Don't let anger let you stop listening to God and hearing his word of truth. So be slow to anger. I'm going to give you an example of this, I'm going to use an example between Amy and I, but this has nothing to do with Amy. This is on me, so I just want to clarify that before I share this, but about 2 weeks ago, Amy was on the phone with somebody, and we were in the kitchen, and I don't remember if it was Piper or Libby, but one of the girls was there, and I was talking, and Amy's on the phone, and I don't remember even who she was talking to, and I turn just in time to have my wife giving me this, like, in my opinion, this very dirty look. And she goes, shh. In that moment, I got extremely mad. Because I turned around and I was fuming, right? I was fuming about this. This is why James is saying, be slow to anger. Now track with me here. It wasn't anger that I needed to deal with. The problem was I was quick to jump to anger. Track with me here. Because anger is a secondary emotion. There's always something else that's feeding it. What I felt in that moment was I felt disrespected. I'm not putting that on Amy. I'm not up here basically saying she disrespected me. I'm not saying I felt disrespected. And because I didn't deal with the disrespect feeling I had, I jumped straight to anger. This is why James is saying be slow to anger, because the problem is God wants to deal with you and he wants to deal with us on the emotions that actually many times drive our anger. The problem is we jump quickly to anger and we never deal with the thing that actually was causing the anger. This is why he's saying be slow to anger. Because once you jump to anger, you shut down and you're not paying attention no more. You're not listening to what God's trying to encourage you with and to show you and all of that. So remember, the word of truth is meant to sanctify us. It's meant to draw us closer to Jesus. It's meant to transform us into the image of Jesus. But when we jump to anger, we shut down from hearing, we're not hearing God anymore. So bad attitudes can actually cause us to not listen to God. And we shut down and we're no longer paying attention. James then concludes this with, therefore, he kind of gets to the heart of it because all of this is produced by the same thing. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with weakness the implanted word. There it is again. He's talking about the word of God. The implanted word which is able to save your soul. He says, basically, get rid of filthiness and rampant. I like the way the King James Version actually says this. I just think it sounds better. The King James doesn't say rampant wickedness. It says the superfluidity of naughtiness. I was like, that sounds good, right? So, like, get rid of the filthiness and superfluidity of naughtiness. The main reason that we stop listening to God and we can't hear God the way he wants us to and the way we can't hear him through his word is when we are living with a polluted life. This is the core of all of it. That's why James says, therefore, get rid of this stuff. Because you'll never be able to truly hear God when you're living a polluted life. when you're living in filthiness and when you're living in this wickedness or this naughtiness. You know, there's an old saying that says this, when you think about the Word of God, sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible's going to keep you from sin. And see, that's where a lot of believers find themselves is we wonder why we can't hear God. We wonder why we can't get anything out of His Word. We wonder why we struggle to understand and know. And James is telling us, well, you got a polluted life. Because a polluted life is actually going to cause you not to be able to hear God the way that God wants you to hear Him. And that's why he declares to get rid of the filthiness and the rampant wickedness. But then what I love about James is he also tells us how to do that. Notice he says, get rid of this stuff, and then he says, how? How do we get rid of this filthy life? How do we get rid of this pollutedness? How do we get to a position where we can really understand and hear God through His Word? And he says, receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. What I love about this and the wording that James is saying is, first, I want us to understand he's speaking to believers. So again, remember, he's speaking to believers. So if you're a believer in Jesus this morning, he's speaking to us. And what he's saying when he says, receive the implanted Word, he's telling us something beautiful and important. He's saying, the Word of truth, if you are a believer in Jesus, the Word of truth has already been implanted inside of you. Like, the Word of truth is already in you. Because when you became a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit took residence in you. You are a new creation in Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit. So James is saying, the implanted Word of God is already in you. The key is, you have to receive it with meekness. Meaning you have to be willing to submit to it. That's what James is saying. He's saying meekness, that's what that word means. It's willful submission. It's taking your strength and your power and choosing to surrender it to God. And so if you're here this morning and you're sitting here and any time in your life, in your Christian walk, you're like, man, I just want to be able to hear from God. I want to be able to hear from His Word. I want to be able to know what He's saying. I want this intimacy and closeness with Him. The question I have for you this morning is, have you ever surrendered to His Word in the first place? This isn't an issue of salvation at this moment. Remember, he's writing to believers. He's not talking about surrendering to Jesus when it comes to him being the Savior of your life. He's challenging once again, have you surrendered to the Word of God as him as the Lord of your life? Surrender and receive in meekness the Word that's already been implanted in you. And then notice what he says, which is able to save your souls. Again, he's not talking about salvation. Go back to what I was saying before. The Word of truth does three things for us. It justifies us, it sanctifies us, and it glorifies us. When he says it will save your soul, he's talking about that sanctification that God wants to do in us and through us by the implanted Word that He has placed within us and what He has given to us through the Scriptures. If you surrender to the Word of truth, this is the truth, the Word of truth that justified you and now is sanctifying you. And someday, by the promises of God, will also glorify you. This is what James is saying. Again, he's talking to believers. Surrender to the implanted Word that God has already placed inside of you. Now, remember how I said, James is where the rubber meets the road. So he's talking these very exalted things. He's up here. Now he brings it down a little bit closer. Because then the question is, well, how do we receive the Word of truth? How do we receive the Word that's been implanted in us? And that's where we then come to verse 22. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now James is starting to make it practical. You remember, he's bringing it down lower and lower each time. He started up here, and he's bringing it down closer and closer for us to understand what he's trying to say to us. And how do we receive with meekness? We be doers of the Word and not hearers only. So, here's what I want us to understand about what James is saying here. again, the language is beautiful when you really understand what he's presenting. This word be, right? So when James says be doers of the word, this word be, right? It's a word of identity. That he's using a word in the original language that he's saying, this is who you are. This isn't just about actions of what you do. He's saying, don't just do what the word says. He's like, be. This is something you are. Be a doer of the word. Let that be your identity that you are known for. This is who I am. I am a doer of the word of God. And then also in the original language, he uses a different word here for hear. So when he says hear, so previously he says, be quick to hear. Now again, he's saying, don't just be a hearer. It sounds like it's a contradiction. But he's using different words. The word, at first, we talked about it. He was saying, hear in such a way that you seek to understand, that you seek to learn from it. This word he uses here is, he's like, don't be someone that just hears it. It's a word that just simply means like I heard a sound. That's the word he uses here. It's just this noise in my ear. I heard something. He's using two totally different words here. So he's saying, don't be this person that when the word of God is presented to you, whether it's you being in the scripture or in a sermon or in a teaching or in a conference, whatever it is, however God speaks to you, don't be someone that just, I heard something. Don't be that person. He says, don't be that type of hearer. Instead, be a doer of the word. A doer here, and I think this is beautiful. This is what one of the things I love about studying or looking into the original language. The other thing I want you to understand what James is saying here about how we submit to the word of God is this word doer simply means someone who obeys. It's a very simple way of looking at it. Be someone who obeys, be someone who follows, be someone that puts into action that which you hear. But there's also another connection to this word. This word that James uses here for doer actually has a connection with poetry. It actually is a word that has a connection to a poet or a poem. And what I love about this is, remember I said the purpose, you go back to God wants to use your life as an example to the rest of creation of the power of the gospel and the power of Jesus Christ. Right? I love the use of what James is saying here, because have you ever thought about this beautiful truth that when you're a follower of Jesus, God wants to use you? He wants to basically write a poem through you. Your life is like a poem in the hands of God that he wants to write for the rest of the world to see. He wants to use your life as a way for other people to hear the beauty of Jesus Christ by you being a doer of the word. You know, sometimes we don't see our importance in the grand scheme of things, but this is James saying, no, God has something beautiful that he wants to do through each and every person that puts their faith in Jesus Christ. And the author of all of life wants to create a poem through your life that communicates the beauty of Jesus to the rest of the world. And that's why James is saying, be a doer of the word by submitting and surrendering and receiving in meekness the word that is implanted with you. And by being a doer of the word, God wants to do something beautiful in and through your life. So this is what James says, is be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And again, he takes it a little bit deeper. Remember, I said James just keeps taking it deeper. The next thing he does, he shows us what this looks like. What does it look like to be someone that just hears the word and someone that doesn't do it? He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Back then, mirrors, they're not like mirrors we use today. Mirrors back then were bronze or copper, a piece of metal that they would pound so they were flat and thin. And then they would polish them so they were very highly polished pieces of metal. And to be able to use a mirror during this time, this isn't like us that we could go look at a mirror and everything looks great and perfect. To use a mirror back then, you would actually have to stand in front of the mirror, and because it was a distorted image, if you really wanted to know what you look like, you really had to intently get in there and look to see what you looked like. Right? You actually had to put some work into it. So James is talking about someone that has actually, if they look in the mirror, you know, and looks intently at his natural face, this is someone that is actually looking into the mirror and they're studying what they see. But James says it's a person that just walks away and forgets what they see. But see, this first person that James is presenting here is someone that approaches the word with the wrong reasons. Do you know you can approach the word of God with wrong reasons? See, I want us to understand something. The word of God, scripture, the word of truth, we don't approach the word to gain information. We don't study and approach the word to gain knowledge. We shouldn't even approach the word of God to attain intellectual stimulation. It's not even the purpose of the word. We should not even approach the word for inspiration. See, some of us might hear that and say, wait a minute, I'm always inspired by the word of God. Why wouldn't I approach it for inspiration? Here's the thing, we shouldn't approach the Word of God for inspiration, because the issue with approaching the Word of God for inspiration is what ends up happening is we approach the Word of God in a way that we pick and choose what we want to hear and what we don't want to hear, because if it's not inspiring to me, I'll dismiss it. So we don't approach the Word of God for inspiration. We shouldn't even approach the Word of God for amusement or entertainment. No, the only reason we approach the Word of God is for two things and two things only, if you ask me, and it's this. The Word of God is for revelation, and the Word of God is for transformation. We come to the Word of God for no other reason than revelation and transformation. The Word of God reveals who God is. The Word of God reveals His glory, His majesty, His holiness, His awesomeness. The Word of God reveals and shows us the beauty of God, and it also reveals to us the sinfulness of ourselves. We come to the Word of God as a mirror to see God as He is and to see ourselves as who we are. But then we also come to the Word of God to be transformed. And this is what James is talking about. He's saying it's a person that looked into the mirror and they even studied it, but they had no intention of actually having anything revealed to them, and they had no intention of being transformed by it. Hear me this morning when I say this. The Word of God, when you read it and you truly understand it, the Word of God demands action. The mirror demands action. We must never approach the Word of God in any other way than to come before it and realize that it demands action from us. Always. One theologian said it this way. He said, you can read a history book, but it asks nothing of you. You can read any piece of literature, but there is no imperative, there's no declaration, there's no explanation. Although it might teach you a lesson, it makes no demand of you. You can read a science book, but it makes no demand of you whatsoever. He even goes as far as saying this, you could read a cookbook, and it gives you a recipe, but the cookbook does not say that you actually have to cook. There's no demand to it. There's no demand that you have to mix up the batch of biscuits or that you have to make the chocolate cake. However, the Word of God is a command. It is a trumpet. It is an appeal to action. The Word of God demands you believe and that you do. This is when we approach the Word of God, this is what James is saying, is if we approach the Word of God in any other reason than to have revelation and transformation, it will be like we look into it and we walk away and we forget what we saw. The Word of God demands action. Then he goes on and he gives us the second person. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I want to point out, just real quick, notice the difference. There's a difference in intent here. Notice the difference in language. James gives three reasons why this person is a doer and not just a hearer only. Notice, first, he says, and he calls it, it's the perfect law. When you approach the Word of God as though it's the perfect law, meaning that it's complete and that it is good, there is no other source needed in all of the world to know who God is, who you are, and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It is the perfect law of God. The psalmist talks about this. In Psalms 119, he says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Let my lips recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Do you hear the heart of a person that is a doer? It is the perfect law of God, and I rejoice in it. Because it is better than great riches. The other thing that the author says, or James says here, is he says, it's not only the perfect law, he says it's the law of liberty to this person. The law of liberty means that not only does the person see it as complete and good, but the person also sees it as the word that gives freedom. It's the source of freedom to live the life that God truly wants for you. Notice, this is what, you know, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Is that your attitude towards the Word of God today, the Word of truth? That it is the perfect law, it is perfect and good, and do you see it as the law of liberty, which it is the source of freedom to live the way that God wants you to live? Do you see the Word of God as that rock that you built your house upon? And last thing he says is, notice he says, and then perseveres. This word persevere means it's someone who abides in the Word of God. It's someone who remains beside it. Someone who is always near it. Another way to say it, going back to when we started this series, it's someone that's consistent with the Word. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. It's a person that perseveres, that understands that to submit and surrender to the Word of God, to listen and to hear and to be a doer of the Word of God, is the way that we declare to Jesus our love for him. Because it's through the Word of truth that he declared his love for us. Now, as we close out this morning, and this isn't going to take very long, James zooms in even more. He calls us to be doers of the Word, and then he gives us two examples of ways to be doers of the Word. In fact, the rest of the book of James is actually James challenging us with different aspects of how to be a doer of the Word. From here on out, he's going to show us how we be doers of the Word, but he starts with two in this passage. The first, he says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Anybody got a tongue problem? This is where it gets a little close to home, right? Because this is what James is saying. He says, if you think you're religious, what he's talking about religious here is he's talking about your outward behavior. He's talking about if outwardly you think you're all good, if outwardly you think you look like a good follower of Jesus, if outwardly you have it all together, if that's what he's saying, but you can't control your tongue, he says, your outward appearance is worthless. And here's what he means by controlling the tongue. It goes back to something Jesus taught. Jesus said this in Matthew. Jesus says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is why James is going, kind of hitting close to home right here, because he's saying, listen, if you want to know where your heart's at, pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth. Now, some of us might be sitting here and going like, I am completely in control of my mouth. And I say, amen, that's great. I'm not denying it. But let's just process for a moment some of the things James is talking about. A person that can't bridle their tongue or doesn't have control of their tongue would be a person that's always complaining. Anybody got a complaining problem? I'll acknowledge it. I do. It's being negative about things and people. How about gossip? That's another way that we can't control our tongue. When we talk about others, when we degrade and insult others, whether to their face or behind their back, this is what James is talking about. A person that doesn't bridle their tongue is someone that is always spewing falsehoods or lies. A person that can't control their tongue and they spew out anger or hatred. Cursing. Now, I want you to see that in two different ways. Cursing, when we curse other people, and also when we have filth that comes out of our mouth or coarse joking. How about this one? How about when we look at our outward behavior, but we can't control our tongue and even taking God's name in vain? But it's not just how we speak towards others. How about this? Does anybody have a problem with your tongue when it comes to how you speak towards yourself? Some people degrade themselves and put themselves down. Some people speak defeated messages to themselves. Some people condemn themselves. Some people speak to destroy themselves. Now, James is bringing this up not to condemn us, but he's trying to show us this is not what the Word of God wants to accomplish in your life. He's trying to encourage, and he's trying to shine a light to say this is not the way God wants it. And then the second thing he hits on is he just simply says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So again, he's going deeper and he's giving us an example of, again, how do we be doers of the word? He's challenging us in being doers of the word. So this is what he's saying here with this. If you want a religion, if you want to practice and put into practice the word of God, you're going to see you growing in two ways. First, you're going to see yourself growing and being others focused. That's what he says here. When he's talking about orphans and widows, he's talking about being others focused. He's talking about those that can give you nothing back, but yet you care enough to care for them. That's what he's talking about, because that's what Jesus does. Jesus looked at us and said, you got nothing you can give me, but I'm still going to take care of you. So he's saying, to be a doer of the word, we're going to see ourselves growing and being others focused. We're going to care for the outcast, the unwanted, the marginalized, the forgotten, because God is forming Christ in you. And here's the last way. He says, you're going to be unstained from the world. Now, I don't want you to hear perfection on this. This is the last thing, and then we'll close. I don't want you to hear perfection, but James is saying to be a doer of the word, this is how you're going to see it. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get stains on you. And here's what I mean. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture if I gave my daughter, or you gave one of your children, or some of you bought them a nice, beautiful, white outfit. Right? Okay? Here's the deal. If I gave my daughter a beautiful white dress, and we go live the day, and we're out doing stuff, and we come home, and I see that my daughter has stains on her dress because of the environment that we were in, that's normal, right? Like, that's normal. We live in a sinful world, and we are sinful still. We struggle with sin. We are all going to end up being stained by our sin. That's why we constantly come to Jesus. That's why we constantly confess our sins. That's why we constantly walk in grace. We're always going to be stained by sin. What James is saying about being unstained by the world is, there's a difference between my daughter walking through a muddy road and getting stains on her dress and me catching my daughter playing in the mud puddle. That's the difference. All of us are going to deal with sin, and we're going to have to continually come back to Jesus. But what James is saying here, if you're going to be a doer of the word, you can't be someone that's playing in the mud. And if you're someone that's playing in the mud intentionally, you're not being a doer of the word. And that's what he's challenging here. He's challenging in two ways. Because he's declaring that the word of God has been implanted in you. So be doers of the word that's been implanted in you. As the praise team comes, you guys can come up as we get prepared to close. The whole point of this message that James is saying is be doers of the word, not just hearers of it. There's a call to action. So as we close in worship, here's what I want to encourage you with. What is the call of action? What is the call of the word of truth? If you are here today and you do not know Jesus, if you are here today and you never put your trust into Jesus, there's only one thing the word of truth is asking of you today. Nothing else. This has to happen first. If you have never put your trust in Jesus, the call to you today is believe. Put your trust in Jesus. If you want to talk to somebody about that, know what that means and what that looks like, the prayer room will be open. go and ask the question, but that is what God is asking of you. To the believer, those of you that put your trust in Jesus, I don't know what the call of action to you is. But as we close in worship, this is all I have. What is it? That's between you and God. Where is God calling you to grow closer to Him? Where is God calling you to be a doer of the Word? In the same way, as we close in prayer and we close in worship, if you would like to pray or talk to somebody, the prayer room is open. But gracious God, as we close in worship, let us just see again how good and perfect you are. Lord, if there's conviction on our hearts in any ways, let that not be done in a way by the enemy that drives us from you. But Lord, as we close in this time of worship and as you draw us to yourself, let us hear the truth of what James is saying. Lord, that you love us, you just love us so much, that you want us to be doers of the word. You want us to experience the blessing of your truth and the life that you have for us. Lord, so I pray that if you are pulling at us today, Lord, we will see it from a good and gracious God that loves us and wants to draw us ever closer to himself. And I pray you give us the strength to respond, Lord, to put into action the truth of your word. Lord, just continue to speak to us as we go, but also as we just spend this time in worship of you. We give you praise. Amen.